This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, Football Fridays. You know what that means. Joey Harrington, he sings to you with his glorious singing voice.
It got stuck there, glorious. Did you?
On that open, and now he's coming
glorious,
to us.
With his glorious gloriousness.
Yes, he's coming to us from a glorious place this week. He has made his way over to Black Butte Ranch, where they have just put in, I was able to play on this earlier this summer when it first opened. They have a dynamite new little putting course there.
Yeah, with like the volcano hole and a clown and all that, or no?
Giant really windmill. You know, actually, they have a giant statue of Rop right in the middle that you have to like putt through his mouth.
Now he's mayor of Black Butte.
His mouth is always open.
You didn't know. He's a legend down in those parts.
I love Black Butte Ranch. I must say, I love it. That is a wonderful place.
It
magical.
Is.
Magical.
It really is. It's a wonderful spot.
Yeah.
Yep. So, the boys had parent-teacher conferences this week, at the end of the week, and so we just kind of snuck over.
Are they learning?
Those things you do during a global pandemic.
Yeah.
It's like, well, we don't have any sports going on the weekends,
right.
And we don't have anything, so, you know,
yeah,
so just leave.
Might as well. Are they learning anything in school at all?
You know what? Hey, we are, I will say, so the boys are all Saints and they have done an incredible job, principal and teachers there. They're in school 8:15 to 2:45 every day.
Okay.
We are six Zoom calls and small groups and binder exchanges and homework, and it's for real.
I've got one kid in school, and to be honest with you, I don't know. I haven't seen her in like 9 days. I'm not certain what she's doing in school. She usually sleeps and then wakes up and just goes to school in her room. I see her for about 20 minutes at night, so I'm going to assume everything's going well.
It's
and,
probably fine.
And call it good. Yeah.
Call it good. Well, to be honest, I'm sitting and teaching third grade spelling and math. And fighting through our lesson plans pretty much every day. So, you know.
So, suddenly my plan doesn't seem so bad, like free-range chickens. Let nature take its course. She'll figure it out. She's smart.
You know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Well, Joe, record pace for touchdowns and for points in the NFL. What do you attribute that to?
Rules, restrictions. You know, I think Suk would agree with me that over the course of the last decade, the NFL has been slowly changing its rules to benefit offense for that exact point. They want more points. They want more excitement. They want, you know, it got to the point about 10 years ago where, you know, every game was 17-14 or 10-7 and nobody was having as much fun. And so, you know, college football, that's the excitement. That's where everybody they're dropping 30, 40, 50 points a game. And that's what people wanted to see some form of that. Sorry, my 11-year-old just about knocked a hole in one from about 75 feet.
Yep.
But, you know, that's what's been happening. I mean, you can't breathe on a guy if you're a DB without a penalty.
Now, you know, you look at a lot of guys now that are just doing these three-step drops and bringing in some of the college concepts and RPOs and the fact that you can't be physical on the outside. It's just, you see even in college, these are tough covers. You know, when you're getting rid of the ball, it negates a pass rush. And when you can't get physical with guys in the line of scrimmage, you can't disrupt those quick routes. It's really hard to stop. It's hard to stop.
It is, and it's. I don't want to say it's unfortunate, but some of football has been taken away. You know, I mean, it's there is a certain amount of physical. You got to be able to make contact with the guy, right?
Yeah.
Like it truly has given the complete and total advantage to the receiver. And this was starting to happen as I was leaving the NFL, that we would work as quarterbacks and wide receivers, but we would work on throwing a ball. If you're throwing a deep ball, whereas before you used to have to just drop it into a bucket, right? That was what we would practice with Coach Tedford at Oregon. Is we'd put literally a garbage can out there at 40. You'd hit your fade routes between 40 and 46 yards. So you drop it. You know, he'd kind of put it in that area, and you would try and drop your ball into that garbage can on the sideline, 43 and a half yards away. At the end of my career, we would practice throwing a ball between 38 and 40 yards to actually stop your receiver and create contact with the DB. Because either your receiver got it. Okay, there's three things that can happen, right? It can be intercepted. Your receiver can catch it. Four things. It could be incomplete, or you can get a penalty. And of those four things, only one of them is bad.
Yeah.
Right, if you've got a 75% chance of something good happening when you underthrow a fade route, then yeah, that's what's going to happen, and that's the way that the league is going to develop, especially as they continue to make the rules more difficult for DBs.
And I've always said, you know, the NFL is set up to throw the ball, so you have to be able to win from the pocket because you got to be able to win on third down. But you know, when you were coming out, they loved the pocket quarterback. But when you can't hit guys anymore, even when you're running. I mean, the mobile quarterback is that thing is here. And I'm not going to say there was one guy that revolutionized it. I'm with you. I think the rules revolutionized it. You can't hit anyone anymore, even when they run downfield. So the mobile quarterback, yeah, it's a killer. You honestly can't really play man-to-man on third down anymore, because if you do against a mobile quarterback, it's an automatic first down with him running.
Well, you're seeing the evolution of, or so the integration of college football into the NFL, and it has happened. You know, that is what was, you know, people would say you can't run the option. Well, sure, you can't run the option, or you don't want to run the option with your $100 million quarterback, but you can incorporate some of those concepts in a way that are feasible in the NFL, and the rules changes have helped with that. Now, some of it is out of necessity. I mean, there is a very real problem with concussions, and there's a very real problem with long-term physical ailments for guys who play in the NFL. And so you do the best to mitigate those things, but consequently, it has created what you're seeing now, which is a high-scoring league that's much more similar to college football than it was 10 years ago.
Do you like it though? Do you like to watch it? Do you like the product?
I do. Frankly, I do. I mean, I've never been a big NFL fan. I mean, I got to be honest. Like those 17-14 games, they bore me. You know, I know I don't want 51-48, but I, you know, a little bit of excitement is fun, right? I mean, and that's the thing that's still great, I think, about the NFL is that, you know, what's the stat? You know, Suk, you'd know it better than me, but it's 58% of games are decided by 8 points or less.
Yeah.
And, you know, 38% by 3 points or less, but, you know, 90% of them come down to the last possession. I mean, that is what you're seeing a lot in the NFL is these games coming down to the wire. I mean, guys like Russell Wilson having to put together the drives that he did this last week. And that's fun. That's exciting.
Yeah, I like it too. No lead safe. But, you know, it's interesting because it used to be that if your quarterback got lit up, I mean, you just couldn't do anything. But now you look at, well, I'll just use the rookies. Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert are both getting lit up. Their offensive lines aren't any good, and yet they're slinging it all over the place. And that's got to be a product of what you guys are talking about.
Well, and guys are getting better. I mean, you have to remember that a lot of guys were coming from those college programs where they were slinging it into a league that was full of drop back offense, drop back strategy, right? West Coast offense. And now what they were doing in college is what's happening more and more in the NFL. So, you know, there's a certain level of comfort to that, where even if your offensive line isn't perfect or isn't, you know, isn't even serviceable, you still know how to get the ball out of your hands and have some bit of success.
Yeah, it's all cyclical. And like we saw, you know, for a while, it didn't feel like quarterbacks were hitting. And now we feel like they're hitting on a more regular basis. And offensive line, too. I thought offensive line for a long time was a huge problem because no alignment were coming out of college. They were all failing because the college game wasn't preparing them. But if you looked over the last couple of years, you're putting out first-round offensive linemen that are playing right away, and they're playing really, really well. So I think not only you mentioned that the quarterbacks are getting better, and they are. They're better prepared than ever. I think finally we're starting to get some old linemen coming out of college, and you'll see this with the Penei Sewells and Tristan Wirfs and Jedarik Wills, all these guys, and Becton, the kid from the Jets, when he's healthy. We're getting really good quarterback play, and we're getting good O-line play at the collegiate level now coming up, and the two games are merging.
It's interesting to see at what point it's going to be too much, right? At what point the pendulum is going to swing too far the other way, and the NFL is going to say, "All right, let's start restricting these rules that we've lessened for the last decade or so."
Bring back the wing T. Let's do this.
I ran that in high school.
This is Joey Harrington, Football Friday. When we come back, I'd like to ask you about malcontents in the NFL. Like Earl Thomas, great player, still has something left, but nobody wants him. Le'Veon Bell and what he just went through with the Jets. It's interesting. I want to ask you about that, having been in the locker room as you have. Joey Harrington, every Football Friday at 5:30 here on 1080 The Fan. All right, we're back with Joey Harrington, our dear friend, who is coming to us live from the new putt-putt course at Black Butte. Beautiful Black Butte Ranch. I wanted to ask you about malcontents because there's a lot of guys like, yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, I'm sure you've seen your share, but Antonio Brown, great example, great player, but a guy that the league has just punted on. Earl Thomas, seemingly nobody wants him now. As a matter of fact, I think the Texans like vetoed signing him, even though they could have really used him. How many true unadulterated malcontents did you play with in your career? And what do they do to a locker room?
Boy, true unadulterated malcontents.
Or just disruptive guys.
Other than Bobby Petrino?
The coach was the malcontent. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fascinating.
You know, I'll start with your second question. Is they can wreck a locker room. They can absolutely ruin a locker room. Because what you have to remember is there is such a fine line between, or I should say there's so little difference in talent between the first guy and the last guy on the roster. Right. Anybody who gets it, it's that conversation or the Brian Scalabrine is what it reminds me of. Right. Where everybody's like, oh, I could beat Brian Scalabrine, you know, when he was on the bench for the Celtics there. And, you know, then he went out and actually took on everybody and just dominated them, even though he's the last one on the bench on an NBA roster. The last guy on the NFL roster, talent wise, is still incredibly talented. And so the difference between number one and number 52 isn't skill. It's attitude. It's confidence. It's what's in between the ears. It's what he's learned. It's what's in his heart. Like those are the differences between the best and the worst guy in the NFL. And so if I've got a guy who is, you know, let's say Earl Thomas is a 95 out of 100, and I've got a guy who's a 90 out of a 100, but he's got an incredible attitude and can be an asset to the locker room, and he could play special teams and he can do those little things that we talked about. You know, a one possession game, guys. I mean, we're talking about one mistake, one play during a game. If I can bring around a guy who could be a positive asset in that situation, as opposed to somebody who's going to be thinking about themselves, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that every day. I'm not even going to think twice about it. So I don't think there's – I would make that decision as well, right? I'm not going to rush out and sign Le'Veon Bell unless I'm the Patriots. right? Unless I'm Bill Belichick, who can keep him in line and say, here's your minimum contract. You know, if you don't hit A, B, and C, I'm shipping you out tomorrow. I mean, there's no room for it anymore, because frankly, it's the kind of thing that will destroy a locker room.
Yeah, you look at him in Kansas City. He's not option one. He's not option two. He's probably not option three. And he's going to split times with a rookie that's going to be there longer than he is. And you're dealing with an MVP. It's funny. It's like that you mentioned, those really elite teams can take on those personalities. You put a bad personality on a bad team, and that's like oil and water. Like it just, or gasoline and fire. It feels like that. And you see it like when the malcontents on an elite team, and they finally get tired of him because there's just enough's enough, and he's a pain in the ass, whether it's Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, and they go to lesser organizations, and it's never the same success. It never works out the way it did in his first team. It always blows up.
The interesting thing is, and I'm oftentimes bad teams create malcontents. Or I should say further the development of malcontents. But it's interesting because would you call T.O. a malcontent?
Yeah, he was. He certainly had that element. You know, there's no way around it. He was a difficult guy in a locker room.
Right, but he's one of the greatest to ever play. Yeah. And so there's a very fine line between that confidence and that ego that you need to be successful. And the malcontent that creates division in the land, right? I mean, there's not that much difference between the former and the latter.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It is interesting because I think in good organizations, those players can thrive. But when you take them and you put them into a – a crummy organization, that's when, you know, losing – magnifies their personal issues.
Then too is like when you're those guys that are malcontents, the TOs, the Earl Thomas, you know, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, when they're at their peak, right? When they're at their absolute best, it's so good that you're willing to look the other way. But we all know this. Your peak in the NFL doesn't last very long, right? I mean, you got like maybe three prime years where you're really, really at your best, and then there's a fall off. And it's funny that once that fall off starts, that's when you really become a problem, because the malcontent, I don't believe, ever realizes that he has lost a step, and he still thinks he can get away with what he did when he was truly the very best. And you can't. You can't lose a step when you're a pain in the ass.
Well, but that just makes my point that those guys are the very best, and they think that they are the very best. And that's why for a certain time they were the very best. And then once, whether it's the team falls off a little bit or they fall off a little bit, it can become a problem. But that very attitude is what made them the best to begin with. Yeah. You know, there was 2-3 years where Le'Veon Bell was undoubtedly the best running back in the game, where Earl Thomas was arguably the best safety in the game. And now they're not, but they're a problem.
Yeah, it's funny. It's like the dominant boxer, right? The dominant boxer is usually a bit of an ass. You're the alpha male, and you need it to be on the mountaintop. But it's tough in a team sport versus being a combat fighter.
Yeah, but then you have like those special guys like Frank Gore.
Yeah.
Or like
Larry Fitzgerald
that just do it the right way, and they're still playing, still out there.
That's why they're truly special.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, and that's why they're put in their own category, because those guys are truly one in a million. Right? I mean, you can count on one hand the number of guys who have that type of career with that type of attitude. It's just so remarkable what they have done.
Did you play with anybody like that? Hello?
Wow. Drew?
Yeah, Drew Brees. Yeah.
I mean, but it's different at a quarterback position, right? You know, so often the malcontents are the ones who – the running backs, the receivers, the DBs, you know, the guys who have to be so incredibly explosive and so incredibly confident. You know, it's the whole Keyshawn Johnson, give me the damn ball, right? And that's not the mentality of a quarterback. Jason Taylor?
Yeah.
Jason Taylor would be a good example of that. I mean, he was a defensive player of the year the year I was with the Dolphins with Nick Saban. And, you know, just based off his the way he carried himself, you never would have known that he was a Hall of Fame defensive end. Just a good guy who worked his butt off.
It's funny you mentioned Keyshawn, because my 2 years in Tampa was Keyshawn. And I saw maybe the two best examples, and they're all Hall of Fame players, but I saw Keyshawn Johnson, Warren Sapp, and I saw John Lynch and Derek Brooks. And all four of the guys, right? All-timers, three of them already in the Hall of Fame. And you couldn't have a bigger divide on a team between the way those four guys went about their business.
That's true. But that's what you get, right? Different,
it's like a melting
different
pot.
Ways to go about exactly, and mm-hmm. That's what makes the NFL so great.
All right, so you mentioned Nick Saban. What's more likely tomorrow, Mike Leach's offense actually scores, or Nick Saban actually coaches?
I would say that there is never a game when Nick Saban does not. Oh well, that gives you.
He's gonna coach.
That's what I was going to say. I was like, well, what do you mean? Nick Saban isn't going to have to coach because they're going to win by – no, he has COVID.
No.
Yeah.
No, he doesn't. Fake news. He'll be out there. Well, they're saying false positives now, or they're saying he's testing negative now, and if he does that – dude, they're doing everything they can to get him on that sideline, and it's great. Well, it's not great, but it's –
he'll be there.
Exactly.
That was the most defeated.
He'll be there. All right, sir. Enjoy Black Butte. Thank you. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys.
J. Joseph Harrington every Friday, 5:30 for cool football discussion. All right, the club is next on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.